The ceiling. The ceiling. What is the ceiling work? Ellen White has said in Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 1161, ceiling is a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so that they cannot be moved. This, by the way, you will find in lesson number 6, part 4, the first note. Ceiling is settling into the truth, intellectually, spiritually, emotionally. It's the decision on the part of the individual to quit fighting, to quit questioning, to accept completely. Let me give an example. Most young men and women date in the Western world. They go out with members of the opposite sex, they eat meals, they travel here and there, they spend time together. And then they decide, this is for life, or this is temporary. Then they break up, till at last they find a companion with whom they decide to spend their lives. This decision should be made very carefully and very prayerfully by every Christian. It should not be done in any hurry. It should be done with careful observation for a year or two or more. Not fashionable in some circles, but look at the divorce rate and then think of a more excellent way. When the decision to marry has been made, and the marriage ceremony carried out, and the life begun together, there must be a resolution on part of the two partners that they are totally for each other, or that marriage is going to splinter. When the Christian finds the bridegroom and decides to be a member of the bride, the church, the ceiling is the settling in. There's going to be no other. The power of a closed mind, the power of a resolution. As Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look on a woman. He decided that when he married. Every Christian must decide that too. When we decide that Jesus Christ is our Savior, let's settle it. When we decide that the Word of God is the inspired revelation of His divine will, let's settle it. When we decide on the Sabbath, on the second coming of Christ, on the program that we are going to carry out in our lives, let's settle it. This sealing work is the settling into the truth intellectually and spiritually. Part number one, there is a work of sealing that is carried out by angels. We read about it in Revelation 7, 1 to 14. This seal in Ezekiel 9, 2 and following is called a mark. In other parts of the Bible, it's called a sign. It's a mark, a seal, or a sign. It's established in the forehead and in the hand. The forehead is an index of the intelligence, the will, the mind, the power to choose and decide and do. That's sealed to God. The right hand is the sign of activity. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Our activities must be sealed by the seal of the living God. Now, while God is sealing, or marking, or setting His sign upon His people, there is a counterfeit mark, or seal, or sign that Satan, through his agents, is bringing about. And the central symbol of allegiance is the observance of a day. the Sabbath of the fourth commandment is the seal of God. The Sunday Sabbath is the seal or mark of the beast. Let's pause a moment and reflect. There are only a few ways in which we can rebel against God. There are only a few ways in which an infant or a child can rebel against its parents. The easiest one is eating. Infants rebel. Children rebel against the food. No rhyme or reason. And sometimes some over-fond and foolish parents indulge their children and continue to indulge their children in mere whims. Whereas the parents should be mind and brain for their infants. The infant doesn't know what's good. You put a carrot in an infant's mouth and it says it doesn't want it. Well, what does it know about the nutrients of a carrot? It should accept the mind and the will of the father and the mother. There are very few ways in which we can rebel against God, but eating is one of them. What we do with our time is another. And the Sabbath is a index of allegiance in time to God. And so when we think of the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, we realize that this is one area in which the seal of God can be applied, and in which we can settle into the truth. We also do that in the matter of eating and drinking, to the glory of God. We also do that in the matter of our resources, of our money, of our tithes and our offerings. Part number two, what the seal is. Now, circumcision was given a seal. The Sabbath is given as a seal. Circumcision was a visible index of self-surrender, of index of impotence. The New Testament counterpart, Paul says to the Colossians, is baptism. It's something that we accept. It's not difficult. It doesn't cost us any money. We give ourselves baths. We immerse in a swimming pool many times. But when we do it for God, very, very simple act, we are surrendering to Him. The Sabbath, too, is a sign of allegiance. It's a sign that God is the Creator, a sign that God is the Sanctifier. It's a sign that God is God. And we must accept the Sabbath as the seal. Robert Cox in Septenary Institution gives a suggestive etymology for Sabbath. It says the word sab, first syllable, comes from ab, meaning father, and the s, he says, is an abbreviation for the Hebrew word ish, which means manly in the sense that virile in Latin means manly. And sab, sahib, revered father. The bath comes from ath or oth or eth, which means sign. And the B is the preposition meaning at. So Sabbath, Cox suggests, means at the sign of the revered father. And week by week, we bring our offerings of time and energy and our offerings of worship and adoration during the Sabbath to the Church of God. Part number three, the time of sealing. As in the case of shaking, as in the case of the early and the latter rain, the time of sealing depends on the individual. My mother and father are long dead. If they are going to make the kingdom of God, they must have received the early and the latter rain. They must have been sealed to the living God. They must have been sifted, and if they are going to make it, the grain, the kernels of their lives must not have been lost. In each generation, this sifting, sealing work is continually going on. It's going on now. Churches have their day of grace. Seven churches in Asia, in Western Turkey, had their day of opportunity. They're gone They're ghost churches at the same time. The New England churches following the great revival under the early Adventist preachers in William Miller's time. Some of them have gone out. No inhabitants. They've had their day. Sifted out, some members sealed. But there is also a last day, teleological, eschatological sense of sealing. But I don't think we need to worry too much about that. The point that we should establish is, how am I faring in the sifting time now? How am I faring in the sealing time now? Are the angels of God sealing me? Am I accepting the threefold message of the three angels? Am I coming into line with those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus? What am I doing in this sealing time that is now going on? Part number four, sanctification and preparation for sealing. Let's read that note. Just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, there's not any seal or mark that can be seen, but are settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, so they cannot be moved. Just as soon as God's people are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it will come. Indeed, it has begun already. So the sealing and the shaking has been going on for decades, for more than a century. The promise of God is, through Christ, that none will pluck or shake out of his hand. Not the least grain is going to fall. God's Holy Spirit is a gift that we can accept right now. And by him, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Ephesian believers were sealed. My parents were sealed. The generations of Ellen White's day were sealed. And there are people day by day being sealed. They're coming to the end of their lives. Their characters are being fixed and settled. They are being made safe to save. Their probation is closed. And I want to emphasize, as we study these lessons, that we should take our eyes off some remote time in the future when the shaking and the sealing is going to take place, and ask ourselves, what am I doing in the shaking time now, when circumstances and factors rattle me, threaten me, anger me? What am I doing? How am I living? How am I relating? Am I settling into the truth, intellectually and spiritually? Part number five, conditions for the sealing. What are the conditions? Our opening text says that they were taken from the 12 tribes of Israel, from a microcosm of society, from every character of humanity. For there's no longer Jew nor Gentile. Israel is the people of God. How am I going to fulfill conditions of being sealed from every tribe and nation? Well, as John continues to look, he sees that the 144,000 stand on the sea of glass. That's the antitype of the laver. They are perfectly cleansed. They are washed. The washing of water by the Word. The Word of God has cleansed them. They take their stand on the foundation of total cleansing, regeneration of the Spirit through the Word. Part number six, fulfilling the conditions. After that he believed, he was sealed. Belief. Belief. Total committal by grace. What is grace? Grace is the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we yield, as we accept, as we will, strengthened by the will of Christ, to do what Christ would have us do, his power, his grace, his Spirit, his Word, his holy angels will work in our personalities so that our behavior patterns will be brought into conformity with the wonderful ideal an example of Jesus Christ. This settling into intellectually, this accepting intellectually, without argument, without questioning, without bickering. I have known people now for 45 years, and they're still discussing the simplest things of Christian living, still arguing about what they should pay their tithe on, still arguing about how to keep the Sabbath, still arguing about 101 details. Let us ask God that in this sealing time, He might induce us to accept the seal of the living God.